packages coming. They're always really fun, right? We like to get things. Mine was probably when I bought that guitar. Actually, it came. I had to have it shipped. And it was right after Jeremiah was born. So I guess I've had that almost a little over 8 years now. And I remember watching it and checking the tracking details. I was at work, like noticing it got delivered. But then I saw like the signing address wasn't my address. I was like, what the heck? Who's got my guitar? And it was actually the guy across the street had signed for it. So he must not have been home or whatever it was. And at the time, we didn't know this guy super well. And I was like, uh-oh, like, am I going to be able to go and actually get my guitar? And I did. I went over there and got it, and it was great, and have my awesome guitar. But we've all waited for different packages, different gifts to show up. Maybe you know what's inside. Maybe it's somebody sending you a gift. You don't know. I'm a big, like, checking that tracking data. I don't know why, but it really excites me when it's like, oh, it was there. Now it got closer. Oh, out for delivery. And Amazon sometimes does, like, the how many stops away it is. I'm like, oh, man, I bet I could find the truck if I wanted to. Like, I bet I could go find it. It's right there. And then it's delivered, right? And then you go to the porch, and you're waiting to see it. You open the door, and there it is in that beautiful brown box. Right? It's a brown box or a white box or an orange, if it's Shutterfly, whatever. But it's in a box, right? Everything that we order comes in packaging before we get to what's inside. And the packaging does matter. We've been in a series these last few weeks on Advent where we've talked about the themes of Advent and how there are many gifts, but in one package, right? We've done the gifts, hope, peace, joy, and love. But today, we're going to talk about the package, which is Jesus. All of these gifts come in Jesus. Advent, this season, is about the waiting, the anticipation, the expectation of the coming of Jesus. So yes, spoiler, on Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about Jesus. All right, so apparently he is the answer today. So Lindsay wins with her answer. Now, when thinking about Jesus as the package, all these gifts come in. Might be thinking, all right, well, if he brings all these, Jesus has to be the total package. We talk about people or things as the total package. They got it all. That works, but I want us to think about it a little differently. Think about it like this. Jesus isn't the total package. He's the perfect package. So he's not just everything. He is literally perfection. And we're going to start with a passage in 1 Peter, before we dive into the traditional Christmas story, to talk about Jesus as the perfect passage. So let's read here just a few verses from 1 Peter 2, this verses 21 through 25, be right up here behind me. It says this: "This you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." We'll stop there. Jesus was perfect. It says no defect, there was no blame, no blemish. He wore all of our defects, our blames, our blemishes, but had none of his own. He had no sin, and this is kind of crazy to think about. He had no deceit in his mouth. The word they use biblically is guile, which is basically talk that would harm or trick somebody else. This was common. People would try to trick. People would use words that would harm. This kind of stuff happened. The Pharisees would constantly try to trick or trap Jesus into saying something they could arrest him for. But he didn't respond like that. He was insulted, but he didn't insult back. Jesus was not, "I know you are, but what am I" type of guy, which is what most of us might want to do. He suffered. He was hurt. He was beaten, but he didn't threaten harm back. He didn't threaten to get even. He didn't go into self-defense and block and punch back. All of those would have been natural human responses, things we might have done, and understandably so. But he stayed pure. He stayed perfect. Because he was perfect, he could bear our imperfections. Because he was perfect, he could be the perfect package in which the gifts of Advent were able to come. He was totally pure, and that package was perfect. If you haven't noticed yet, I have two different packages up here, wrapped in various states of being. My kids wrapped these, by the way. This is a great activity on, like, Thursday. They were both home, and I needed something to occupy them for, like, half an hour. So I gave them each a box and gave them wrapping paper and said, go. Just said, wrap it. I don't care what it looks like. This is Joella's. She went bow-centric. That was her thing. So we got bows here.
I thought you wrapped that one.
No, this is better than what I would do.
Jeff's not allowed to rep.
No, Stacey's right. I'm not allowed to rep presents at home. That was, I believe, year two of our marriage. I lost that privilege. This one is Jeremiah. He went with a lot more paper. He tried to cover as much as he could. Fantastic job. Now, if we look at these, I'll keep holding this one. They might look incomplete. Maybe somebody tried to rip it, or they weren't done well. They look far from perfect. The stuff Jesus had done to him would have made him look like this. Ripped up, beaten, imperfect, and just dropped around. But he stayed perfect. Even with any of this type of stuff that would have happened to him, he stayed pure, he stayed perfect. And because of that, he could give us the gifts from Advent. As a reminder, it's hope, which is an anticipation that God will be who he's promised to be and that we have a future with Jesus. He gave us peace, where he puts all the pieces of our lives together. He made peace between us and God when we were separate. He made peace between us and other people, and peace inside of ourselves when everything going around us was crazy. And then joy. Remember, not a feeling of happiness with joy, but an inner satisfaction and contentment, far bigger than an emotion, which changes. Joy doesn't have to change. A choice to have inner satisfaction in Jesus when life around us feels like a blizzard is going on. And then love, we talked about last week, a self-sacrificing others first service and care for others type of love. And we give this love to others. We show it to other people, and we show them Jesus when we do it. God gave it to us in what we're celebrating tonight and tomorrow, the birth of Jesus. He didn't have to do it, but he did. So Jesus was the perfect package, and he brought gifts that nobody else could bring, that nobody else can give. So what do we do with it? Do we just sit there and stare at him on the mantle? Not totally. We're going to look at what we do with it from the traditional Christmas story, and we're going to see two very different responses to the birth of Jesus in Luke 2. I'm going to read Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. I'm going to use a different translation than normal. We're usually in the NIV. I'm going to use the Message, which is a little more paraphrase or thought for thought, but I really like it as I read it in this week, so I like some of the wording. So it'll be up here. You can follow along up here, but this is kind of our traditional Christmas story, Luke 2, 1 through 20. It says, about that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius, the governor of Syria, everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket, laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the hostel. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. "Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God's revealed to us." They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. The shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had seen and heard. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. We'll stop there. All right, so we have the shepherds and Mary are the two kind of sides we're going to look at this from. The first is shepherds. Talked about shepherds a little bit before. They were a looked down upon group of people. They would have been low class in this day and age, not reliable, unclean, all this good stuff. But yet the angel visits them first, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, how super cool that the angel visits people that really needed joy first. So what they do, they hear this news, like, okay, this sounds awesome. And they go right away. They go fast as they went running. They had enough faith to go check this thing out right away. It says seeing was believing. They saw and they believed. Then comes what they did with it. Then they shared it. They shared it. They told everyone. And picture this, shepherds, low-class people, not a lot of respect, might be the ones you look right past. They go around telling people about this crazy thing that happened. But they did it. And it says the people were impressed. People heard it, took it in, listened to the shepherds because it came from God. They wanted to share this amazing thing that happened. Then they let loose and praised God for it. Let it fly. They didn't care who saw them praising God because this amazing thing happened. They had to share it. Think about something great you've gotten that you shared. I'm going to tell throughout this morning two kind of stories about some family Christmas things I've had in my family time as it's Christmas. And one was that I had Grandpa Bob, good Midwestern boy. I have a Grandpa Bob who loved brandy old fashions, classic grandpa. Grandpa would come on Christmas to whatever house we were at, and we'd put him in the chair, kind of in whatever room we were in, and he walked with a cane. He'd had some strokes. And he would kind of jokingly poke you with the cane, kind of nudge you with it. That was his love language. But he always got peanut brittle as a gift. Always got peanut brittle. That's what he loved. I never saw him share peanut brittle. It was his, right? Well, then one year, we're sitting, it was in my parents' living room, and man, Stacy and I were either engaged or had just been married. And she kind of like jokingly takes it from him. And I saw this look on his face. I'm like, I don't know what he's going to do. Like, nobody's taking his peanut brittle. So he kind of looks at her. I'm waiting like, oh, man. This is going to be, I mean, we're not very far into this. This is going to be a problem. And then he says, help yourself. I was like, what? I've been your grandson for 20-some-odd years. I've never had it offered to me. He shared it. He loved that peanut brittle. He waited every year for it. But he shared it because he had something great. The shepherds were given something great, some great news. They checked it out. Then they shared it. So for us, we want to share like the shepherds. Share like the shepherds. The shepherds raced to the stable to see the baby and believe it. We don't have to run very far to see and believe. We come to our Bibles. Bibles on your table. Many of us have them at home or on phones or tablets. If you need a Bible, just take the one off your table. Merry Christmas from us to you. We can go get it right away. Read it, see it, believe it, dig into it. We have that proof. Don't just wait for Sundays for me to get up here and tell you what I'm taking from it. Read it yourself. Do it every day. And then share it like the shepherds. The shepherds shared it, right? Talk about it and share it with the people you have relationships with, the people you know. Don't hide what Jesus has done in your life. Now, I know this can feel very intimidating to talk about Jesus. I get that. You might say, I don't know if I'm comfortable talking about it. Fair. Share Jesus with how you lived. With how you live your life is another way to share Jesus. We talked about how just loving other people last week is a way to show them Jesus. That's showing Jesus, serving others, meeting their needs. Family members, caring about them and loving them. Friends, neighbors, and yes, even the people that you hope wake up with coal in their stockings tomorrow morning. Those are also the ones we need to love. Somebody getting coal at that table? I heard a noise. Maybe. Oh, boy. It's important. Showing the love of God is important. And acting like it. I've been on this kick for a few years now that it's more powerful to act like Jesus than actually talk about Jesus. Right? Now, that's, you don't have to agree with that. That's my personal conviction. But act like Jesus. And it's so powerful. So in whatever ways you can, with your words, with your life, with your heart, share Jesus, the package and the gifts he brought. So that's the shepherds. Now we got Mary. Mary had a very different response, equally as important. It says she kept everything inside. She held it dear and deep inside of herself. Her baby, her son, this miraculous birth. She just took it in. She held it closely, which makes total sense, right? This makes complete and total sense. She held something closely. A gift she was given, she held it closely to herself. Think about holding a gift closely. Another grandparent story. I had a grandma, Betty. She's also since passed away. But she loved to play games with us, her grandkids, and also games at the senior apartment she had lived in. Now, grandma sometimes, grandma played a little fast and loose with the rules. Like, she would go for a fourth shake in a game of Yahtzee. I'm like, grandma, you can't go again. She would blame it on the old age. Or like, no. Grandma was trying to put one over all the time. But from what I understand is the most competitive one was Scrabble. At the senior apartments, they would meet in a different person's room, and I think there was actually like some sort of traveling stuffy or trophy or something for the winners and the loser. So one year for Christmas, I know, right? They're serious over there. We got her a Scrabble dictionary one year, okay? So we got it for her. She's looking at it. I'm like, hey, Grandma, are you going to, you know, like, share that with your friends and let them see it? And she looks at me and goes, clutches it to her chest. Goodness, no, Jeffrey Paul, this is mine. I'm like, full name, middle name. Like, that was reserved when I was in trouble. I was like, wow, all right. She treasured that thing. She's like, this is mine. I'm going to keep it deep within me because she wanted to win. Love her competitiveness about it. Great. But she held it very close. Mary held Jesus' birth very close to her. So we want to hold Jesus deep inside of us. Treasure him. Value him. Make him part of who you are. We hold Jesus dear and deep by spending time with him, by spending quality time with him. Read your Bible, pray, listen to music, draw, journal, paint. It doesn't matter, but having Jesus at the front of your mind when you're doing that is spending time with him. What's he saying or doing in that time? Or do you just need to sit and listen? Or do you need to do the talking? It doesn't matter. Think about, like, I've had this phrase of having coffee with Jesus where I just sit there. And sometimes it's really focused and intense, and I'm like, God, what's going on? Or sometimes you're just mellow and just sitting. But however you do that, have Jesus be deep in time with you. Have him deep down and let him affect the rest of your life. He will then be what bubbles up when the unexpected things happen. He guides our responses and interactions with other people. He leads us to be obedient and to follow his direction. That helps us show him like the shepherds, but it starts with having him deep down, treasured in our hearts like Mary. So treasure Jesus and everything he brings deep down within your heart. So we want to remember that Jesus is the perfect package, and in him, all of the gifts of Advent came. Now, we can remember that in a variety of ways, whatever works for you. In a minute, the Kids Club is going to come up and share some things that are going to help us. Ryan, that's Ryan. I worked out a signal. That's the signal to go get the kids. Okay. Subtlety is not a strong point of me and Ryan, so we're just don't pay any attention to the two of us, except when I'm up here. Otherwise, don't. It's fine. The kids are going to come up. They're going to share some ornaments they made that have to go along with Advent and some of the themes, and hopefully that will help us remember it. But as they're getting ready, I want to encourage you to remember Jesus. We're going to eat apps together in a little bit. We're going to listen to the kids. We're going to sing more carols. We're going to go and do whatever it is that your Christmas time will be. And that's great. Have fun. Rest. Enjoy. Catch up with people. Spend the time. But don't forget Jesus and everything that came with him. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today, for this morning. God, what we're here to celebrate, and that is that you sent your son and that he came. So I pray that we would remember that he was that perfect package, the package that was able to bear all our imperfections and pay for our sins. So God, I pray that we would treasure Jesus deep down in our hearts, but also share him. Pray that in our lives, God, we would run to him first, but then not be afraid to run out and share him as well. So we thank you again for this morning and for the birth of your son. In your name, amen.